That's very funny.
And all right, they read them blind. All right, welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast.
Whoa, 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 that was too fast. All right, slow down. Go back again.
All right.
Also, I appreciate your Guinness sweatshirt. So, you know, you're getting in the Irish spirit.
Keeping a buck. All right, welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast.
God, Jesus Christ.
Not you.
Not yo. It's...
You know what Alex says?
He couldn't even get past the intro without getting the break in it. For those of you at home, because I will edit out the preamble before we start recording officially, Gogs is like, I don't think I'm going to break out my Boston accent tonight.
How could you not?
Oh, it's so...
Alex says... Not you so much, and I had totally forgot that was from this movie.
I'm so glad you brought this up. I say it all the time because of Alec, because Alec says it a lot. And when he said it in the movie, I did the fucking Leonardo DiCaprio meme. I was like, that's it. That's where it's from. I totally forgot.
How'd you forget? Like, that's like the big fucking, like, this is like its tagline.
To be fair, I thought it was from some other Boston-centric movie. I could not forget the Not You.
What I thought it was, honestly, was Matt Damon and Good Will Hunting talking to Robin Williams. Sean, not you.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
This is for me.
So what did we watch this week, Gogs?
We watched The Fighter, starring Marky Mac. David O. Russell's The Fighter, story of Mickey Ward, the unsung hero of the Ward Eklund family.
I think it's pretty song
at the end, but up until the point where they weren't singing about him.
Oh, okay.
I mean, prominent in the family, he was unsung until his brother got out of jail.
He was sung at large, but not in his own home.
He was wildly sung by the Dropkick Murphys, who made a whole entire album about him.
Sean, you're like the most into boxing out of anybody on the show. Did you know about him before like the movie and all? Like,
Well, the war, and we'll probably talk about it later, but the Ward Gotti trilogy is like the most famous boxing event of our era, like of our youth. So
yeah, I'm a very casual boxing fan, but I remember Gotti. I remember that guy's name. He was huge, right?
Yeah.
And Gotti.
He's super dead.
And then Geraldo opened his glove box.
He died.
Roadmaps.
Possibly his wife killed him in South America, but it was listed as suicide. Yeah, it's crazy.
Roadmaps? He had roadmaps?
I don't know. Him and Karen O.
Key reference. I don't know.
It's from Geraldo opening John Gotti's glove box.
Oh.
And UHF Weird Al ripping it off.
Oh, it wasn't Gotti's, it was Al Capone's. Because remember, that's the
Al Capone's vault. This might be two separate openings.
Because remember, that was the line from when Homer was trying to write a song. There was nothing in Al Capone's vault, but it wasn't Geraldo's fault. The only pop culture I know is filtered through The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous. Anyway, I'm excited to talk about The Fighter. Spoiler alert, it's a good movie. It's a real good movie.
I'd have to go back and look, but of the movies I can think of, David O. Russell's best movie.
Oh, I would love Three Kings. Is it better than though.
Three Kings? Yeah, I really like Three Kings.
Three Kings is good. I think this is a better movie. This is a better movie. This is like better made.
I agree with that. It's I like
I Heart Huckabees.
Yeah, me too. I'm a big fan of that movie. But
American Hustle sucks.
I hated that movie, and I didn't like Silver Linings Playbook either. A lot of people
like Silver Linings Playbook. I don't think it's tremendous, but I liked it.
I don't think it's awful, but it's not like I think by the time I watched it, it was like very overhyped because I think it was Oscar nominated. If I'm not mistaken,
people went ape shit.
I do say don't put metal in the science oven a lot, and I know that that's from fucking American Hustle.
I have to look at his filmography. I know he's made a lot of movies.
This is also the only David O. Russell movie with Conan O'Brien's sister in it. So I guess by that metric, it's probably the best.
Who is Conan? Which? Please tell me she's one of the sisters.
She's one of the sisters. Yeah, she's
No,
not Red Dog. What was the other one? Alec
Red Dog. Oh God, I can't remember all their names.
Hang on, I gotta look it up.
Oh my God, really? Oh my God, I feel so bad for that. All of those women are atrocious.
Rough.
I was trying to think of a soft way to say it. Yeah.
But like, sure. Amy Adams has never looked hotter or sounded hotter.
Oh, so 1,000,000%. I mean,
we might as well just talk about it now. But I remember when this movie came out, there was a bunch of to-do, you know, not really, but like Entertainment Tonight fodder that like she put on like so much weight for this movie. It's like she didn't even put on like weight. She just looks like a normal person. You know what I mean? Yeah. She looks like a very healthy, normal person. She looks
regular. There's one scene where her tits are kind of pushed up. That was it. Yeah. Also, in real life, Mickey Ward's wife is like 3 or 4 inches taller than him, which I guess they couldn't do for the movie because he would be gay or whatever. But it's hysterical when you see pictures of them.
That is kind of funny.
It'd be funny if they just put her on like stilts. Just make it accurate.
They should have gotten John Rhys Davies from fucking Lord of the Rings.
Conan O'Brien's sister plays Phyllis, quote, Beaver, unquote, Eklund.
Hold on, I have to look up which one is Beaver. But anyway, what did you guys watch?
I believe it's Beaver.
Damn it.
Don't call him that. Don't use the nicknames.
Don't use the nicknames.
That was hilarious. How do you spell Eklund?
E-K-L-U-N-D.
Yeah, yep, okay. Just like it sounds.
Like it sounds, yeah. Sorry. Anyway, what did you all watch this week? Alec.
You know, I don't know if I watched anything.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, God. This is what she looks like. Yikes.
She looks like Conan O'Brien.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Wait, did you think that there was like a hot one that you missed in the movie? No, like I said, it was one of the sisters.
Is she the most unfortunate looking one?
No, I don't think so. No, I think she's middle.
I mean, it's just a murderer's row of just awfulness. Like, it's so bad. I mean, I'm saying this as an ugly man, but like,
the 2008 night. Golden State Warriors of ugly white women.
But like, how, like, was the casting call just fucking trolls? Like, what did they say?
And forgive my ignorance, but is Conan from the area? Like, he's from Massachusetts.
Yeah. Well,
It begs the question, what do his sisters actually look like? Because you know...
Are you saying those are Hollywood eyes?
I would imagine so, because Mark Wahlberg's a fair sight better looking than George Michael Ward, so...
Oh, yeah, when they show them at the end of the movie, you're like, oh... Like, even fucking cracked out Christian Bale is still Christian Bale, you know?
Right. Yeah. He's a handsome man. All right.
Sorry. Alec, go. Sorry, buddy.
I don't think I watched anything.
Oh my God, that's weird.
And yeah. This season is big for you.
Well, no, but also Alex probably busy as fuck because it's
A lot of work stuff.
That and movies suck.
Oh wait, hang on. Let me think for a second. I did watch something last night. What did I? Oh, I watched Harold Kumar's Christmas.
Oh hell yeah! Wait, they have a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Is that the second one?
It's the third one.
Because
they have a first one, which is the original. And then they go to Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
And then this one is a Christmas movie. And that was actually, it was pretty funny. I was kind of surprised because that premise seems like it would run out of gas really quickly. But
I remember the Guantanamo Bay one not being horrible.
I never saw that one.
I love the original one. I remember it being very funny.
Yeah, the original one's fun, but it's really funny, but so much of it is tied into them like smoking weed and weed being illegal. Like, it's just not relatable anymore. Like, you can literally get weed wherever you want from companies on the corner and with drive-thrus. Like, at the beginning of the movie, it's Kumar like going to a guy's trunk to get weed from Santa Claus because he's got to do it out of his car because he's a drug dealer. Now it's like, oh, just let me go to the pharmacy and get my drugs.
Right.
But it's It's pretty funny. They're laughing at quite a few points. The thing that really dates it is it was 3D.
Oh, oh no.
And there's many scenes of shit coming right at the camera. And it helps that it's a comedy and they like really lay into it with stupid shit. But like it's super, super annoying at parts.
I do not miss that like slight that few years where they're like, hey, let's bring 3D back. It's like, nah, we're good. We're good.
Now it's back where it belongs, in hell.
Yeah.
All those fucking morons that like Kissinger bought the glasses and shit.
Yeah, fuck you, Kissinger, you bitch. Dead bitch.
But that's the only thing I can remember watching. I'm sure I watched something else, but that's the only thing I put on my notes.
If something comes
aside from I watched the Superman trailer about 50 times.
That trailer looks so good.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Okay.
That shit looks fantastic. And
worried for a second.
No, it looks fucking great. Like these fucking DC people that are like, it looks like a CW show. Like, get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you must have Zack Snyder's dick so far up your ass. Like,
it's just 4chan like pole brain rot. Like, I think that's all it is. Like,
it looks fantastic. It looks like a fucking comic book. You know, that's
how can you not love Crypto Home? Like, and the dog taking him and fucking looks, like,
and like Guy Gardner looks fucking stupid, which I love. Yeah. Like, come on, dude.
I put it in the group chat that they got me right away when it's like he puts his arm around Pa Kent and it's like, oh, okay, he got it. You know, it's not like we all remember. What should I do? Let them die? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you should kill them.
Like, I saw a meme yesterday where it was Kevin Costner holding his hand out and it said, no, my invincible son.
God,
I hate that fucking movie. Oh, God, it's so bad. No,
you know what kills me? I know we talked about it, but there's one scene in the movie. It's like a flashback or something where it's him with the fucking towel tied around like a cape when he's a little kid and running through the field and the sun's shining. I'm like,
yeah, it looks like a Levi's movie commercial.
Like, how did you get it and then like immediately not get it?
Yeah. And I forget. I don't know. There's obviously been a lot of discourse about the fucking trailer, but like, you know, the funny thing about Zack Snyder is, if he just made trailers, Zack Snyder would be a great director. Because he's great at trailers. Go back and watch any of his trailers. They look awesome.
Those trailers go hard.
But the movie...
I can see somebody took the... I don't know what that robot is, because I'm not like super deep in Superman lore. Where he's holding
it's just like a robot butler, basically.
So he's holding the robot, and somebody just put the font underneath of it and just said, I thought you were a party robot.
Oh, Linguo. Linguo dead. I'm gonna hit you in the Kabanza. Sentence fragment.
Powering down.
Oh, that's a good joke.
Oh, man, that trailer is
dude, it's a banger. It looks so good.
It is fantastic.
Mr.
And, like, I don't want to sound like a fucking lib cuck, but it's like I could use something a little hopeful right now. You know what I mean?
I could use like give me a fucking Superman movie that's like got some color in it and looks like a fucking comic book. Like, this is what I want. It's
and he actually looks like two different characters.
Yes, yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah.
They did a great job with him as Clark. Like, I know a lot of people are mad because he's got kind of the fucking broccoli hair, but he looks like a different person. Like, I don't know.
People are mad about his hair.
Yeah, because he's got kind of He's got the fucking zoomer cut.
He is a fucking zoomer dog. Like,
That's also a great point. That's a very good point. But I don't know. I think it looks great. And I'm getting a little like everybody else. I'm getting a little tired of the same old thing. But I'll tell you, it won me over. I've been watching a lot of clips of it on TikTok. So a lot of people have clipped other like great like James Gunn moments.
That was weird.
I'm echoing on your own, Sean, somehow.
I don't know. You sound fine on me. How are you echoing my end?
I don't know.
It's coming through you, buddy.
Oh, it stopped now. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, but no, they played that. There was a clip of that scene in the Suicide Squad where it's basically like them introducing everybody, and they're like, what's his name? The guy that's in Serenity.
The detachable kid.
TDK. He's like, your name's TDK? He's like, it's the initials. He's like, your name is letters?
Your name is letters?
Captain Boomerang's like, all names are letters, mate. Like, that shit's really funny. Like, and the whole scene is very funny. And then fucking, they got that weird fucking weasel guy and like, what's his name?
Is he a dog?
Is this a dog? What kind of dog is it? I think it's a shepherd. What kind of dog has thumbs, bro? It's like, and then Harley Quinn's like, it's a werewolf? Like, I never met a werewolf. Like, the whole scene is fucking hilarious. Like, that shit.
Yeah, yes. That movie's very good.
That movie rules. I famously watched that movie twice in one weekend. I liked it so much.
You know, what's disappointing, though, is they always go from the director of Guardians of the Galaxy and never from the director of Slither. Like, that's what I would put on there.
Right.
People are going to see it anyway. Just go weird.
Yeah, get weird. From the director of Romeo and Juliet. all right, Alec, pass the mic, my friend.
Sean.
Oh, I watched a couple things.
How the tables have turned. Alec didn't watch anything, and Sean watched a few things.
Yeah. I watched Knock on Heaven's Door, the Cowboy Bebop movie, which is a movie that Nate and I reviewed a while back, and I was like, it's okay. But kind of going back and rewatching, I'm like, you know what? This movie's really fucking good.
I
like that movie quite a bit, and they really did a lot with the animation, the movement, like in the fight scenes. And Cowboy Bebop's always been well animated, but like the fluidity is great. And it's just like, you know, that rule of cool thing, like sometimes shit's just cool and it's super noir, and it's like a nice kind of like bridge thing between, like, well, you'd have to watch the show, the last couple episodes. It kind of fits in there. It's in a weird spot canonically to the show, but it's a good, like, hey, if you want to watch an anime movie and you've never seen it before, watch this. Like, it's a good starting point. I think I rewatched 28 Days Later. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, I really appreciate your full-on anime arc that you've been going through lately. It's wonderful to watch and witness.
Well, animated shit's just better. Just put a dash, put my name there, and then bury me. Like that, I'm going to stick by that.
Did you watch Creature Commandos yet? I think you'd really like it.
Nah, I don't have Max right now.
I'll put it on the Plex.
Okay. I rewatched 28 Days Later in anticipation of another great trailer that came out recently.
It looks really good. Yeah.
That movie still fucking rules, and it is almost, what, 23 years old?
Yeah,
and they shot that movie, we probably talked about it before, but they shot that movie on a home, like a pro, like a what they call a prosumer, but basically a high-grade consumer video. It's shot on videotape.
Yeah.
Like
and
camcorder.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah. And it's like, it's great, but like it's also kind of like the Montreal flight attendant of zombie movie shit, if that reference tracks. But like the patient zero for zombie AIDS, because like after that, like everything was a zombie movie, and you know, to mixed results, I would say mostly bad.
But I agree.
That movie's cool. And what's his name from Doctor Who? I always forget he's in it.
Yeah, it's just Eccleston.
Yeah,
he's amazing in that movie. Yeah, he's
that whole so like good. When they get to where they should be safe, and it's a million times worse than they were just kind of on their own, I think is a nice kind of like subversion. So,
yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Donald Gleason's dad's really good.
I cannot wait for the sequel. Like, I was a little apprehensive, but you got Garland writing it and fucking Danny Boyle directing it. Like, it's gonna be good.
I am not at all looking forward to
Warface.
Garland and Boyle. Yeah. No, I did. Well, I didn't like Civil War, but you know, other people did. Whatever. I watched Strange Days again because I always try and watch that around New Year's ish time. That movie still rules. See the earlier episode. And there was one more thing I watched.
Hot take.
Oh, I.
Hot take.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
Catherine Bigelow better than James Cameron.
I'm. You know what? I don't know that I could argue that. I would say at least equivalent.
Yeah, she had, like, from a consistency standpoint, she has less misses.
She doesn't have any stinkers like he does. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? She doesn't have Avatar 1 and 2.
Yeah, exactly. Or fucking Titanic. Like, James Cameron has just made nothing that I've liked in 30 years. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Like, I don't know that, like, because I love Strange Days and Point Break and Near Dark and go on and on. Even, like, a movie, like, her weaker movies, like Zero Dark 30. Or, yeah. Did she do Zero Dark 32 and Hurt Locker? Or just
I think she did Zero Dark 30 as well. Yeah.
She did both of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Hurt Locker.
It was fine. I think that's like a weaker movie in her filmography. I watched Black Dynamite again because I still think that might be one of the funniest movies ever made. Gogs had sent me like a clip from it, as we're wont to do occasionally. That movie's fucking cool. I watched The Proposition.
Oh, I love that movie.
I've seen it before. I think we talked about it before. I'm watching things in anticipation of other things. So I guess there's a Blood Meridian movie finally going to come out that's by...
By John Hillcoat. Yeah, can't.
And wait. I've had this movie forever, and I tried watching it. I got about 10 minutes into it. I'm like, I got to circle back to it. I think TJ hated it. It's Synchronic, the ambulance driver drug time travel movie? Question mark?
It's not good.
I did hate that movie.
Like, I blind bought it, and then you watched it. One of you two watched it, like, right after I bought it. It sucks. Yes.
Yeah.
Anthony Mackie in that one?
Yeah.
It's the same filmmakers that made this movie called The Endless that people always talk about, and I hated that too. Like, The Endless is like this, it's another kind of like time loop movie, which I usually love, and I hated it. And then Synchronic, I thought was even worse.
Yeah,
hated it.
Hated it. Bring that back.
That's why it's called CBS, because that's all you see is BS. That is a fucking 40-year-old reference. Yeah.
Bro, like, you can't make that anymore. Like, you could, but it wouldn't be any different than TV in, like, the mid-2000s. Like, every TV show was like that.
1,000%.
Hey, does your dad dress like a fucking idiot? We'll get these five queens to scream at him for 3 hours and embarrass him on TV.
And also, my heart skipped a beat for a second there, because I thought you meant the movie you started to watch and hated was The Proposition, and I was like, like, how could you say
something? No, I've seen The Proposition before. Yeah, no, I love that.
Love that movie. What, Danny Houston in that movie is so fucking good.
The only good project he's ever picked.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, that's not true, but he has been in some horrendous movies. See 30 Days of Night.
See Wolverine and, Origins.
I guess The Crow.
Wolverine Origins, The Crow. He's been in a lot of dog shit. I want to say he was in... was he? No, he was. I'm thinking of 30 Days of Night. For some reason, I thought he was in that Daybreakers movie, but he's not.
No, but that movie also sucks.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, it's really bad.
Not for nothing. Also shitty.
Do you pass it to me?
Yeah.
All right. So I have some bad news for you guys, or maybe it's good news. We watched the Penitentiary movies in the right order, because I watched Penitentiary 1 and I didn't like it at all.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Is it like a regular movie?
Imagine. So, like, it's just as incoherent, but it's not as insane. Oh, okay. And it's not fun. It's like, it's trying really hard to be a real movie, but it has ADHD, I guess, kind of like the other two do, but like, there's no like magic, like little person or like anything fun, like the skater guy, like falling on his face. Like, this movie is basically about sexual assault. That's like the whole movie.
Well, they are all to one extent or another about sexual assault.
Like, Too Sweet is kind of not even the main character of this movie. Like, you forget he exists, and then like they bring him back as the main character, and you're like, it was very confusing. But like,
was Ernie Hudson in it?
Ernie Hudson wasn't in the other one, you racist. But
yeah, he was.
He was in the second one, bro. You racist.
Oh, damn it, I'm racist now.
Baby boy, all over again.
I looked at the IMDb last week when we were doing the character is in it, but it's not Ernie Hudson.
Yeah, so Half Dead.
Oh, they Half Dead
is in it. The guy that plays Seldom Seen is fucking hilarious, because I guess Seldom Seen is supposed to be like 200 years old. He's like a Master Roshi, because he's in this movie and he is significantly older than the guy in the second movie. But like the movie like starts out where like it's so fucking confusing. The movie is so fucking confusing. Like, so basically Too Sweet gets just, he's on the side of the road and he gets picked up by this woman who's in a van, but she's like, I'll take you as far as I go, but like I go right down the road. But then she's like on like a CB and she's like, okay, I'll pick him up. And then she goes to this biker bar and these two guys like harass her and start a fight and she kills one of them. It's like, why did she go there? I don't understand why she even went there. And anyway, she kills one of them. So Too Sweet goes to jail. Well, you don't find this out until almost the end of the movie. Because after these guys start fighting her, it cuts to the title screen. And then Too Sweet's just on his way to jail. So in the context of this movie, Too Sweet just went from being arrested to going straight to federal prison. There was no trial, like no nothing. And then, so after that, like Too Sweet kind of goes away for most of the movie. And then you get Half Dead or whatever, Twice Dead, whatever his fucking name was. And then he's just like, oh, there's a new guy on the block. I'm going to break that book. And then like all his little cronies are like, yeah, you're going to fuck that guy. And then
you're not talking me out of it.
You're doing the Gox thing.
And then like, so like, then there is one of the best scenes in the movie is that Half Dead tries to fuck Too Sweet and they're both like, it's the gayest scene you've ever seen in your life, because they're both just in like underpants, and just like in the last two movies, like they're incredibly like wet. Like, but like they don't know how to, I mean, you saw the fight choreography in the other two movies, like they don't know how to fake fight. So like, imagine two guys in a room that's like 4 feet wide and they're trying to like act like they're fighting. I mean, anyway, so he can't rape, Too Dead can't rape Too Sweet. And then that leads to like, I don't know, then they're like, hey, you know, there's a prison boxing tournament coming up. Do you box? And Too Sweet's like, no. And then the tournament just starts. And Too Sweet's cellmate is a boxer who eventually, like an hour in, gets killed by Half Dead. And then, like in the last like 10 minutes of the movie, Too Sweet decides to box. And that's kind of your movie. Like, it's so funny.
Wait a minute. So he had never boxed prior to prison. And then, like in the second movie, he's fighting for the fucking welterweight champion.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, the set they use is got to be the same set they use for two, because it looks exactly the same. Also, that director is obsessed with like showing like weird sex scenes like in between fights, because like there's this scene where one of Half Dead's like cronies is like taking a piss, and then like he just, this woman just jumps out of like an air vent and like they fuck, and it's like really graphic. Like he's like sucking okay. on. He's,
so like, what was the bad part of the movie?
He's like sucking on titties, and I'm like, what is this fucking movie?
Like you wanted me to.
It's very as insane as Cox. It sounds. It's very boring. Like it is not as fun as the other two. It's I mean, it's on the Plex, you can watch it, but it also, like, this was also redone by Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah,
but, like, I guess the audio was like unsalvageable. Like, it is like almost inaudible. Like, it's so hard to hear it half the time. It's like, I don't know, I did not like it as much as I like the other two. I mean, it's a fun watch, and Sean, you should probably watch it to complete
the trilogy. I will,
but it's not nearly as good as the other two. Like, I would rank it Penitentiary 3, Penitentiary 2, Penitentiary 1, in reverse order. But
they Benjamin buttoned their way through the trilogy.
Yeah. I mean, because
least they raise the stakes every time.
At its core, it's trying harder than the other two to be a real movie, but like the guy doesn't know how to make a real movie. Like, it's
so so after this one, he understood his limitations and said, "Fuck it."
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, that's good. Good for him.
100%. Like, But also, like, it's filled with a lot of the same hallmarks that the other two have. Like, so that woman that basically caused Too Sweet to go to jail, she shows up like halfway through the movie, and it's so fucking weird. She shows up to like fuck Too Sweet, and then Too Sweet's like, "You're the one from the diner." It's like, "Yeah, dude." Like, what? He's like, "You remember me, don't you?" It's like, "What the fuck are you talking about, dude?" Like, oh, it's so wild.
I don't know why this is grossing me out so much, but somebody said half dead and somebody said twice dead. So all I could think of was a half baked potato, which would be like the potato filling on top of a raw potato.
That's disgusting.
I can't deal with it mentally. Just a hot mashed potatoes on top of a not like cooked a
cold baked potato. Oh god.
No, awful. Hot but not cooked. You ever got like you ever tried to microwave a baked potato and it's like
I've done that. You take it out of the oven early. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Gogs, what'd you watch, buddy?
I watched two things.
Two things?
Both were seasonal in nature. I watched, I think they might, well, one was definitely a Shudder original, but I'll talk about that one second. I watched a movie that was almost impenetrable called The Killing Tree. And
the Chell Silverstein book?
Yeah, it's on. Here we go. It's on Shudder. Here's the deal. there's a guy who kind of looks like Wish.com Ozzy Osbourne and his crone wife. They were gonna go on.
He looks like both of them.
No. It's him.
Oh. And okay.
I guess com or whatever. Yeah, and then him and his crone wife are gonna go on a.
Pause real quick. I'm sorry. Before I forget,
people don't use the word crone enough. I'm just gonna say
because Gog said crone. Has anybody heard the term hag maxing before? I just said it out loud.
No.
Nope. No. It's amazing. It's
the act of dating an older woman. I'm sorry. I just heard it for the first time and I couldn't process.
Holy smokes!
That's amazing.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's what this guy was doing. So
it's almost as funny as Twink Death.
Twink Death, yeah. Twink Death rules. Shout out. So now I suffered it recently.
Oh, so anyway, this dude and his lady are going to go out on a Christmas Eve a slaying, and they're going to kill 12 people on a Christmas Eve. Well, things went awry, and then this guy got convicted and caught because of some young lady who. She threw a proverbial monkey wrench in his murder machine. And then a year later, he's already been executed. And like, I guess just the wheels of justice spin quicker. And I think this is in London, England.
London.
And so this Christmas, this Christmas, his hag wife decided to bring him back from dead. And the incantation she used, she drew not a pentagram on the ground, but a Star of David.
Ooh.
And then
she make it a golem.
So, well, I didn't think of it that way.
Oh,
but,
man.
Yeah.
I just had a great idea. What about a blaxploitation Jewish movie called Golemite?
Wow. Patent pending.
Oh, damn, Alec. You can't be giving away gold like that for free. That's a great. I love that.
Sean, right in.
Golemite's coming. We're going to have to leave our own homes.
Oh, no. Golemite. Oh, I got to draw something. That's amazing. Golemite. Oh, dude. That's $1 million idea right there.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to come back from Golemite, but here we are.
I don't think we can.
Sorry, Gogs.
I don't want to follow Golemite.
Do you have to put like 40 wrappers in his mouth?
Oh.
Jesus.
What?
Well, that's like a golem. You have to, yeah.
Right, okay. You have to put.
No, I know the golem thing, but 40 wrappers.
No, it's scratchers.
Okay. Would it be better, but not as fun if you had to put like a fucking diploma from an HBCU in his mouth? Like, I don't know. Like, we're making a blaxploitation movie. We're not making fucking right. Like a Tyler Perry flick.
You're right. Irma Gerd, the Golemite's after me.
Sean's idea is funnier than like a fucking diploma.
It's all right.
I'm gonna mute myself. Oh god. Oh, that's too funny.
Anyway,
goal. How do you come back home from Golemite?
How do you keep?
How are you gonna bring the kids home? I've seen Golemite.
This title of this episode is gonna be Golemite. I don't care.
Shit. Okay. So anyway. So her incantation, which once again, she drew like a Star of David in salt in her living room. The spell she's using says you need something equivalent mass to bring this person back. So she grabs a fake Christmas tree and puts it in the middle of this thing, does the incantation, and then
Does this Christmas tree weigh 230 pounds? Like, that seems ridiculous. How big is this tree?
The man was kind of a twink. So okay. It's like... So, then, like Charles Nelson Ray, or whatever he was, name in Chucky, Riley? Like, no. Hey, I'm a murderous doll! This tree comes to life with a murderer's soul in it, and then it murders a bunch of people with like worst CGI of all time. The plot,
does it look like the Stanford mascot?
It looks like that. It has Christmas lights on it, and it's
okay.
It's supposed to be a horror comedy, and it's like shuffling through the woods, fully lit. It stays lit though, not plugged in. It has control over the lights to strangle people somehow. There's a scene where it's looking at a map in the woods trying to figure out how to get to this house to murder this girl. He happens upon her mansion, which is where the murder of her murdered parents, who were murdered, happened last Christmas. She's having a house party, and then like in towards the end of this, he kills everyone. They play some silly game betwixt the girls where the one girl's dressed up like a candy sweet, and she's hitting tennis balls. She's doing like Ray Charles tennis where the other girl has to wear a blindfold and she's hitting balls at her, and there's some sort of game being implied.
And Gods, then what the fuck end, are you babbling about?
Yeah, this is the movie I watched.
What Ray Charles ping pong?
Yeah, they blindfold her. So anyway, so now towards the end of the film, she gets chased out into the woods, which if a tree is chasing you, that's the last place one would want to go. The tree
right, that's where their power is.
Right. He's got friends. The tree ribbons her to a tree. And then the tree had been killing people with tentacle. The tree changes. It's like fucking apocalypse. It changes mass and like volume. One time it's as big as a house. The next time it's just the size of a man. Anyway, this tree is telling this girl about all the awful things it's going to do to her with this knife that it suddenly needs. When then another like mystical angel pine tree shows up, and that's the soul of her dead mother, like a Patronus charm. And the two trees fight to the death, and then maybe it was a dream. It was awful. Do not watch The Killing Tree. It's all I can say. It is.
It's a good thing her mother was drift compatible with the tree.
It was fucking. It was the longest 74 minutes I've ever been a part of. It was
also roughly the plot of the last four episodes of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
It is awful. All right, so that's the one thing I watched. The other thing I watched was from the man who brought us VFW.
Ooh.
I watched Christmas, Bloody Christmas, and here's the plot conceit of this movie. A U.S. government robot contractor made robots for war and then recommissioned them or privatized them or found a cash grab and turned them into robot Santas and deployed them.
Oh, my God.
Across the nation, so that
plus for what reason?
Because why sit on the lap of creepy hobo miscreant Santa Claus that only puts that suit on once a year when you can sit on the cold, efficient steel lap of Robo Santa?
But the vagrants are much cheaper for the malls that are going out of business, are they not?
Well, yes. And then what also doesn't happen, unless they have a Vietnam flashback, is the robot Santas decided to go back to their DOD programming, and this one went on a Terminator murder rampage.
And like the Santa in Futurama?
Or like the Itchy and Scratchy Land situation, yeah. Okay. So
you're not going to tell me this movie is bad, right? Because this sounds incredible.
So here's where your mileage may vary. Okay. It is kind of graphic and gory.
Like VFW.
They went all the way and killed a kid. Like, killed a kid.
Good. Kill more of them.
I see that shit all the time at work. I don't know.
We had to make it real.
The dialogue is very Kevin Smith quippy Gilmore Girls pop 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 pop.
Funny?
Nah, it's a lot of music debates because the main character and the other male lead, like, she owns a record store in town. This town is lit exclusively in neon, by the way. It is. So, like, if you want to hear debates about music and pop culture that you may or may not agree with, and if you want to see some of the most aggressive over-the-pants cunnilingus that's ever been captured on film.
Yes.
Hold on. Over-the-pants.
Yeah, like, she, like, the jeans come down, but he's either pulling them to the side or something, but she is like, is it the walls of Jericho where you get them up on their shoulders, then you twist them over, then you cinch them down, like,
Is it a lion tamer?
No, lion tamer.
I forget because he changed.
The Walls of Jericho is the one where he kind of stands more and puts the knee in the back. And
that was my favorite. I hate the lion tamer. One's cool. It's just a Boston crab.
It's a Boston crab. Yeah.
It was sick. It's like a forward facing Walls of Jericho eating it out conversation, like happening in one scene of this movie. Yeah.
How does the robot look? Does the robot look cool?
Does not look great.
That's a bummer.
This movie felt a lot like Hardware, and I'm never a fan of Hardware.
I like Hardware. You don't like Hardware?
What the fuck? Hardware's fine.
Yeah, Hardware's cool.
This movie gave Hardware vibes. Like, the end of the movie, the robot will not die. It just keep coming. Like,
I mean, I kind of want to watch it. You've kind of sold me on it.
Yeah.
Like, I'd watch it again. Like, once the robot, like, the first bit's kind of insufferable, but once the robot killing gets us started, it just continues.
But it's not as good as VFW. It doesn't.
It's not as good as VFW. It's not as good as Chopping Mall. Well, Chopping Mall holds like a special place in my heart.
I mean,
as good as Chopping Mall? But this movie's, I'd watch this again. I would not watch The Killing Tree again, but I would watch Bloody Christmas again. This guy's name is Joe Bagels or Joe Bagos or something. And
Joey Bag of Donuts.
The guy who wrote Owner, Player, Coach. He wrote, directed, produced, and he gets murked in this movie. He might have got murked in VFW too. I gotta go back and watch the tape. But those are the two things I watched, two seasonal movies about murder.
Oh, yes. The robot just looks like a dude. I thought it was going to be like a clanky dude. Clank robot.
No, like that's at some point he gets his skin blown off, and it's like a low budget Terminator.
Low budget.
It has green laser pointer eyes, so in certain scenes you can follow where it's looking because it's literally laser pointing her.
In the pantheon of what's that slapstick horror, what is that called, splatter horror, what the fuck is that called, TJ?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
Christmas movies made in the last 6 years is as good as the David Harbour one.
Oh, I like that
movie. Oh no, it's not as good as Silent Night. Violent Night is like
Violent, it was great.
S tier. Like, this is, I mean, this is fun though. Like, this is, it's also way better than The Killing Tree. So I got my relative whatever's is kind of off. But yeah, give it a look or not.
I kind of want to watch it. I think I'm going to watch it.
Do it.
All right. Well, Gogs, let's talk about The Fighter. What happened in The Fighter?
So in The Fighter, You're introduced to Dickie and Mickey, Dickie Eklund and Mickey Ward. And HBO Films is in town to learn you up about...
Interesting bit of lore. I actually watched this documentary when I was a little ass kid, with my dad.
High,
it's like
high on Crack Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, HBO...
Great title. Very subtle. Yeah. Subtle poetic title there.
Yeah, HBO is known for its subtlety. So
yeah, remember Real Sex?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Take six.
Like,
I've never had it.
Like, how quickly would you get served divorce papers if you sent your wife to a class to learn how to suck dicks better? Like, that seems like a bad move all around.
Yeah, it's time to...
You just gotta make it a gift certificate. Make it seem like a spa day.
What is spaghetti?
Spaghetti day?
What's their spaghetti policy?
So, anywho... HBO Films is here to
look here. It's here
to tape Dickie. Dickie seems to think it's to document his return to Fistiana.
But which really I know he's like super out of it because he's such a fucking crackhead, but like once you see like the footage that they get, like how did he think this is about his comeback?
He
like
doesn't. They go, also it's, they oh it's, you know, it's him lying
pause.
To himself.
Pause. Yeah, because when he's in there with Amy Adams and she's like, admit you didn't knock down Sugar Ray. He's like, I was in the fucking ring with him. You think I don't know what happened? Like, he knows. Yeah, like, he's fair. Just, he wants to seem
right,
like,
right.
You know, yeah.
This always got.
He's, yeah. Like, everybody's met, we've all met guys like him who literally have to be the center of attention no sure. matter what.
Yeah.
Like, everything's about.
What really?
Everything's about him. And
Anthony's good people. I like that dude.
Yeah, he's good.
He's all right. Well, it doesn't help that like his whole family. Like, so the Eklunds. So the Slag that birthed him shout out like eight other kids.
Shout out the Slag. The oh my gosh.
The yeah, they're cunt. Like. Yeah, the Eklund. There's like what, seven Eklunds? Is Mickey Ward the only Ward?
There's two Wards.
I think one of the sisters is also a Ward.
There's two Wards.
Don't they go through in the bar and they go through like, oh, she's his dad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
George, the dad, who's actually like the only decent member of this family.
So put upon.
Yeah, he had like a couple of daughters. Then there's like five Eklunds and two Wards. And this woman is just, you know.
Shout out to Melissa Leo doing the Lord's work in this movie, by the way. She's very good.
Oh, that's she's
the,
like.
That's the mom?
Yeah.
She won or was nominated for an Oscar.
She's fucking incredible.
In much better than her performance in Red State.
Well, she's like Prince Joffrey level repugnant. Like, I fucking hate her. But that means she's doing. But I mean, she's doing a good job.
Yeah,
she's incredible in this fucking movie. All the performances in this movie are really.
She's
good.
So manipulative, like she's so. But anyway, so everyone, so Dickie is just. I guess he's maybe the firstborn. He's certainly the oldest son. He is held in this high regard. So Dickie's talking to HBO. He's like, "Hey, this is my brother. We're gonna, you know, he's a boxer. I'm a boxer. Whatever, you know. He's gonna get blah blah blah. He's gonna be. He's not as good as me. That like it's just right. It's all about him."
Yeah.
He's like the pride
of this little shitball town.
He's the pride of Lowell.
Dundalk, but worse.
And I mean, it's like, you can tell, like Alex just said, like, it's his whole identity, right?
Yeah.
Like, being the king of this town is, like, his entire identity.
It's the epitome of peaking in high school and never moving away. Like, that's all he's done, right? But his family reinforces. His family just, he is in a known crack house. All the time smoking known crack, and everyone loves him for it somehow. Anyway, so he's smoking crack. They're working on a road crew together. Mickey's just trying to quietly be handsome as shit and just get by, right? And so now they're like, all right, Mickey's got a chance to fight this dude. Let's go do the fight. Let's be late for the limousine. Fucking Dickie is too smoked out on crack to make it to his. He's one. So crackhead Dickie and the local constable, who I guess is a recovering alcoholic, are all that's the best this town can offer. Are in,
well, it is Massachusetts.
They are in Mickey's corner. That's Mickey's training team right there, right? Also, they go to a bar and they're like, hey, I want to go. His father is like, hey, go hit on that lady behind the bar, who is the hottest Amy Adams end of
smoke statement. Show. We all, like, it, to one extent or another, being where we're from, we all love this mid-Atlantic / Northeast kind of white trash, right? Like, that's kind of a trigger for all of us.
Yeah, there's a special place.
She needs a scrunchie on her wrist.
It triggered a lot of core memories.
She got some Reebok classics. This also, like, this is one of those things that only works when you're hot, because he doesn't presumably know this woman from Adam. And it's like, let me take you out.
She has to, like, goad him into it. She's like, your father stares at my ass, but at least he talks to me. And then the dude's like, oh, he's in the back going, I don't know. So then he's like, yeah, so I'm going to go fight this guy. I'll be back Saturday. Give me your number. And
black and Jewish.
We'll hang out. He's a black Jewish guy. Saul. Mandy. Yeah. So then they go to Atlantic City and they find out that Saul Mandy's got the flu. And so they put him in the ring against this guy fresh out of prison who's got 20 pounds on him.
Nick, you said he's fresh off the couch. He's
he just got fat. Off the couch.
He's been sitting around.
He's built like a middle linebacker from the primetime Bucks.
He's Dickie, and he's like, this guy did not just get off the fucking couch. If he did, I want to buy that fucking couch.
And then he gets, for like 8 rounds, he just gets dismantled by this person, right?
Like, so now his cheek is cut open.
Yeah, he got
you have to get punched in the cheek to cut your cheek open like that?
Right. Like, yeah, it just split. Like, he just beat him fucking meat. So anyway, they take
real ticker tape from the real world, though. That fight was actually like a lot closer than it's portrayed in the movie, but they kind of did it for dramatic reasons.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that.
Oh, also, yeah, so I imagine you're gonna know better than anyone else, Sean. So just, can you jump in when stuff is factually correct versus dolled up? Because I was curious about some of it.
The movie's pretty close.
So the dude gets the shit beat out of him, right? Mickey gets the shit beat out of him. He's like, fuck, all right. He goes home. Everybody else is like, don't worry about it.
I can't believe I got punched retarded.
Yeah.
Well, they also mentioned at some point, it's like, well, if you don't fight, nobody gets paid. And when they mean nobody, they mean his family, not specifically him. Yeah.
So then
they offer him, it was like 10 grand.
Yeah.
Or something like that to get the absolute shit beat out of him.
You know?
I've taken a beating for free before, so I guess. Yeah.
So he goes back home. He goes to lick his wounds. Dickie's like, I'm gonna go smoke crack and figure out the next move. Mom's like, I'm a whore.
Well,
and
also, real quick before we move past this, like the attitude of the brother and the mother, like after he got his like fucking shit pushed in, like they don't seem to care, like. Dickie, they're drinking beers in the limo. They're like laughing about it, and like Marky Mark is just fucked up. You know what I mean? Like,
well, before they even get back to the limo, some promoter talks to him, and offers him to fly out to Vegas and train full time and get paid.
Yeah,
to train full time in Vegas with professionals, and then his family shits all over that.
Yeah.
Well, they're so manipulative. They're just like. They're like, you're not going to abandon your family, are you? So,
also, like, I just want to point out, this has nothing to do with anything, but Mickey Ward drives what I believe is a Mercury Topaz. Like, it's either a Tempo or a Topaz. Somehow the Mercury Topaz is even the sadder version, even though I think technically it's the higher spec car.
I thought it was an Escort, but either way, it's bad. It looks bad. It looks like dog
Topaz.
Shit.
Goddamn.
Oh, and I glazed over this part. So at the fight ringside, I guess it's an undercard fight of enough merit. Sugar Ray Leonard was there. And so then Dickie's like, you remember I knocked you down? And like, he was like trying to talk to Sugar Ray. And then after the fight, he tries to talk to Sugar Ray again. He's like, hey, they're getting, HBO's filming me. I'm going to have a big comeback. I want you involved, Sugar Ray. And then Sugar Ray's like, sure, call me. I don't, whatever.
Get, yeah, call me. Here.
Yeah, he gave, him, he gave him the, oh, wow, that's crazy kind of response.
But it's just like we said before, it's like, we all know these people, right, that are just like, the whole ride home is like, you see how Sugar Ray was like, he wants to be part of it. Like, he's just so delusional. But I guess it's all he has.
Everybody feeds into it. Well, except for the dad.
Right, because it's one of those things where it's like, if he isn't shit, then they're all really not shit, because the only thing they have is to attach themselves to him.
That's a really good way to put it. Yeah, you're 100% right. But that mom fucking loves her son. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
The one that got turned into hamburger, whatever, who gives a fuck? But the other one, the one that's like, you know, smoking fucking bleach and matchsticks. Yeah, that's the one I want to fucking hitch my wagon to. Anyway.
Before this fight, was that the scene where the dad tries to wrangle Dickie and gets punched?
Yeah, Dickie tries to.
And then Mark Wahlberg's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're trying to act like a silverback gorilla trying to grab Dickie.
Yeah. Yeah, so the fucking, because Dickie didn't show up to go to Atlantic City to be part of the fight, and they show up at the crack house.
Yeah, I don't have to be there till like 9. Is this part where he's like, I don't have to be there.
There was two scenes. So it was the training scene where they're like, hey, you're supposed to be training, because HBO was sitting around waiting. This happened before. I'm doing this all out of whack. That's HBO was like, hey, so where's Dickie at? And they're like, oh, he'll be here. He's late, but it's whatever. And then he's like doing Tai Chi or boxing or something in the crack house. I'm like, don't you need to be training Mickey? He's like, yeah, it's not till 9. It's like, it's 11:45. He's like, oh, I fucking need the road work. And he just starts, he's like, first of all, he runs out of panic. Like, where's the car? And they can't find it. Yeah. And then he's got his fucking butters on and he's just trucking it to Central Lowell.
Like, he's a good runner.
It's a little later, but I love that his escape hatch is just jumping out of the back window into a big pile of trash. He does it
repeatedly.
Three times, I think. It's hilarious. Also, his like crack girlfriend is way too hot to be a crack girlfriend.
Oh yeah.
She's Cambodian.
Recent immigrant, so maybe, you know, status wise she struggled a little bit.
So anyway, so Dickie, we've established Dickie's a piece of garbage. He's unreliable. Right before the fight, his mom shows up, and it's another thing. It's like mental gymnastics. His mom's like, what are you doing in here, Dickie? Oh, God, how could I? He's like, did you know? Like, and like the chief of police is like, you know where he is. Like, don't fuck
everybody
me.
Knows
like,
where he is.
Everybody knows where he is, right? So anyway, so now they get back. So Mickey's licking his wounds. Everybody else is smoking crack or having another kid. And then at some point in this first, say, third of the film, we are introduced to just the each one is uglier than the one that preceded it. just parade of sisters, and they are troglodytes. They are the ugliest humans I've ever seen on film. It's wild to me how they got here.
Oh,
like, I can't fathom.
Can you just imagine his sisters at a fucking Hollywood premiere? They're like man's Chinese theater, and they're looking over. I'm like, why'd they pick that girl? I don't fucking look like that. You think I look like that?
she should have figured out when they were showing the movie on her forehead. These fuckers look like goddamn Cro-Magnon human being. They look barely evolutionary. It is fucking wild how ugly they are, especially compared to how handsome Marky Mark is. Like, how did the same gene soup do this?
Different dad.
But even the ward was ugly. Like, they're all ugly. Like, Dickie Eklund's a handsome man if it wasn't for the crack.
I mean, like we said, when they show them later on, not so much.
I don't want to alarm you guys. I just found a picture of his sisters on the red carpet, and you're going to be shocked. I'm going to send it now.
Okay. Are they smoke shows?
I wouldn't say that, but...
Did they ugly them up for the movie?
Yes.
Dude, that is brutal. What did they do? You know what? Do you think they were such pieces of shit to work with that David O. Russell's like, I got you, fam. And he's like, I'm going to bury you.
That's terrible. Hold on. Go ahead, guys. I'm looking at...
Let me know when you guys get the picture.
I got it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely... Yeah, David O. Russell must have had a thing.
No way. Those girls are attractive.
That's really funny.
Oh, that's
maybe Ward's, Mickey Ward's watching the movie and seeing who they cast as him. He's like, not you, not you, not you, not you.
Oh, that is so harsh. Good job, David O. Russell. Anywho, so Mickey Ward got the Christ kicked out of him. So now Amy Adams is mad that she never got to go on her date. So she's like, how dare you stab me up? So she pounds on his door until he answers.
Like, spoiler alert, I fucking love this movie.
Yeah.
This next scene is one of my favorite scenes in the whole freaking movie.
I never thought the scene was as funny until Alec, who texted us analog for the scene that's coming up, he's like, I've never felt so seen by a movie.
It's the scene is so goddamn good.
So Amy Adams' character is Charlene. She
is an MTV girl.
She did get a full ride. One of them fucking MTV girls. Means you a skank. So she had a full ride to college on high jump, but she got drunk and flunked out or whatever. So she's kind of like Mickey's
middle trash.
Mickey's trying to like impress her, so he picks her up for a date and takes her to see a movie. Have you guys ever heard of this movie?
No.
He can't even pronounce it. I can't pronounce it. It's like
that shit was so funny.
Endoscopy or something. And they're walking into this thing.
And this guy
is like taking a fucking girl from like Brooklyn Park to go see like La Age d'Or. Like, what are you doing?
Also, whoever they cast for the guy behind me is like, the cinematography is amazing. I was like,
Marky Mark's response is, oh, cool.
Alec Air's response is, oh, cool.
I was laughing so hard. That's exactly how I feel sometimes.
That shit was
And when they get out, because it's like some like I assume like foreign art movie. She's like, I gotta read the whole fucking thing. She's like, a guy on a fucking road crew recommended this movie to you.
Yeah. Yeah, her saying she had to read the whole thing was fucking hilarious.
That was very funny.
But you can tell like she's not impressed by it. He's trying his best to like impress her, but this is what
classy people do.
Yeah,
he also doesn't want to be in Lowell. He's trying to stay out of town because he's in.
He went to Fancyville next door, so he's in Medford or some shit.
That's the guy that fought Tyson. I'm from Medford, Mass. What was that guy's Jake name? Paul?
Peter McNeely.
Yeah, the guy Sean's right. The one that's like, I want to thank my mother, my brothers, my grandmother, and not last but least, Snobby.
a fight that famously the national anthem was longer than the actual fight.
I think
it was his first. I want to say it was his first fight after getting out of prison. It was like he's out of jail and he's looking for revenge on Homer Simpson.
The Frederick Tatum.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Well, anyway, so they go to this movie. She's not impressed, but they bang, and then they bang for like the next 5 weeks. Everybody's like, "Where's Mickey? We can't find Mickey. Normally, we can't find Dickie." And then she shows
up. It's that fucking Charlene.
It's that fucking Charlene. And God,
that woman's voice. It's that fucking Charlene. She sounded like Patty or Selma.
Yeah, definitely.
So they go and confront Mickey and Charlene, and he's like, listen, I'm going to do my own thing. He says he's not going to go with Sal Governelli or whatever the fucking guy's name is who offered him to go out to Vegas. And Dickie's like, look, you want to train all the time? I'll make it so you can train full time. I'll score money for you, okay? Whatever. Oh, so then he tries to put a pyramid scheme on Cambodians. That doesn't work.
That's so funny with his friend, like him and his girlfriend translating, and then his little friend behind him. Like he's like, you're not helping. You're not helping at all.
Doesn't he? It's like white people do it to white people too. It's like, stop it.
Yeah, that shit was hilarious.
So then him and his boy decide to pretend to be cops and shake down John's for their hooker money.
What a fucking scam this is. What an idea.
And then the real, as they're shaking down this John, and then they're going to whack up the money with the hooker, real cops show up. Fucking Dickie takes off on foot. He gets chased to the bar district. He starts to get, he gets into a scrap with the cops. Everyone else is in the bar hanging out and having a good old time. Mickey comes out to go like help. The cops beat the piss out of both of them. They intentionally break Mickey's hands or hand, right? And because like, ah, he's a fighter, break his hand. It's like, all right, set nightsticks to womp. Then they,
hey, who's this guy? Oh, he's the fighter.
He's the fighter.
Did I dropped out for a second? Did you already cover when Charlene beats the fuck out of his sister?
No.
Oh, we didn't get into the beating.
Oh, that hasn't happened yet.
So. Okay.
No, that did happen. Didn't that happen?
No, I don't
think that happen when they were looking for Mickey?
It happens after their sit down at the house and Charlene's there. And then it's later because they're like, it's that Charlene, I know where she lives. And they all like eight of them pile into basically a topaz, like Sean said earlier.
It's a fucking clown car.
Crammed into it.
It's like, oh, I like it. This is a nice house. She's like, it's a fucking apartment.
So anywho, Mickey gets his hand broke. Dickie gets sent to prison. Mickey's like, fuck it. I'm just gonna Shawshank Redemption fix roofs for the rest of my life with my father. And bang Charlene.
You know, not bad.
Not honestly, bad.
Not bad.
Good, honest work, right? He's in the trenches getting it done. So now Vicky is getting clean by force because he can't score crack in the prisons, which seems odd. It seems like you could score there.
He's not trying very hard.
That's true. He maybe have realized he's hit rock bottom. And so
also, real quick, I'm sorry to derail it. I don't know if I got mentioned. Mickey Ward has a daughter who is totally inconsequential to the plot. Like there's like a scene where he goes to pick her up. Kind of like floats in and out of other scenes, but like, I don't know why it's there.
His baby mama seems like a real piece of work though.
So, yeah, but like it amounts to nothing, you know?
Right. The only part that really carries any weight is like when, well, two things. He's like, I'm going to be a better fighter and I'm going to buy a better apartment. And she's like, oh, good. And then later when you see live from Cracktown.
Oh, good.
Oh, it's funny. I actually forgot all about the daughter. Like she's, Sean's totally right. I totally forgot she's even in the movie.
Well, so later when Dickie's crack documentary shows up, fucking Mickey calls his ex-wife. He's like, you can't let us see that. You can't let us see your uncle like that. And then they're like, let us see whose uncle it is. And then everybody's like, I can't do that to my mother. And then everybody's fucking losing it.
I love that, like, the ex-wife is like, totally hates everybody.
Yeah.
But her husband, husband still looks at Mickey like a hero. And he's like, also, well,
it's like Jimmy.
He probably don't want to catch a two-piece in a soda, too. Like, he probably knows. Like,
I guess that's something else we should bring up. Like, even though Dickie is like a piece of shit, like every time he's accosted, he's still nice with those hands. Like,
well, I mean, he still fought Sugar Ray Leonard. You know what I mean?
He's still nice with it, right? So anyway,
it's like Dickie's that. What is it that Brian Scalabrine is like? I'm a lot closer in skill to Kobe Bryant than you are to me. You know what I mean? Like when you get to the professional level, yeah.
So Dickie's in prison getting cleaned up or whatever. And Mickey's hand gets healed up. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go try and be the fighter. And so he goes back and he goes to the gym. And he starts training again. And they're like, listen, we're going to hook you up with.
With Whitesnake?
Yeah. The soundtrack, Alex said in the text chat, the soundtrack in this movie
banging.
Goes tremendous.
It slaps, but every song is 100% on the nose with what is happening in front of you off screen.
Right. So they're like, all right, this dude from the cab company wants to sponsor you to be the fighter. And he's like, all right, that'll work. And so then he's no longer a tomato can. Like he starts working his way up the ranks, right? He's like, bada bing, bada boom. And he gets at some point his family, like confronts Charlene, and then Charlene fucking almost snatches a wig off someone's head. And, like, just
this is the fight.
They have a real Glen Burnie moment.
Like, yeah. Like, just beats the piss out of this woman on Mickey's front porch. Like,
fucking her up.
Like, she's sending shots full speed.
And now Mickey right Ward has to interject himself between his girlfriend and his, like, 12 harpy sisters and her mother. And it's like, what am I supposed to? And his dad pulls up in the truck, sees what's going on, and immediately bails.
Yeah, backs up. That shit's hilarious.
The dad is so great in this movie. Oh, wait, I did have a question for you, Sean. Is Mickey getting his hand broke by the cop things, is that canonical or is that for effect?
That I don't know. I it could be. It sounds like it was dramatic, but it's possible.
Canonical. Right. So anyway, so Mickey's fought his way to the top. He goes to visit Dickie and tell Dickie he's out. And Dickie's like, listen, man, you're about to go fight this guy. He's 15-0. He's younger than you. You gotta run from him. You can't outpunch him. You gotta let him get himself tired. You gotta Homer Simpson him. You gotta let him punch you till he's tired, then knock him down. And he's like, whatever, man, I don't need you. I'm the fighter. So then he goes and he fights this dude.
It's funnier every time he says it.
And for 8 rounds, he is getting just dragged by, like, he's getting pounded. So Mickey walking this thing, I think he's like 23-6 or something. He has a pretty decent record.
He's like 30-5, but in real life, I want to say he was closer to like 4. His record was actually better in real life than it was in the movie.
And it's like 20 knockouts, and the other guy was like 16-0, 15 knockouts. So they and Dickie's like, also, this guy's using you.
This is another one of those boxing movies that looks great because they use the actual like era-appropriate HBO cameras and setups and everything.
And it's really well choreographed. Like, it looks great. So the fight happens, and like the ringside folks are like, look at this. This is pathetic. Like, he's not even, and like, they keep threatening to like stop the fight unless he starts defending himself.
Yeah, I love that. The ref's like, if you don't show me something in the next round, like, I'm stopping the fight.
Right.
And then he immediately like breaks his ribs with the left hand.
Yeah. He gives him a fucking, he's a high low or whatever, and like sends a shot to dude's liver. And
I don't want to ever get punched in the face by a professional boxer, but I imagine like a body shot like that has to just be absolutely horrendous.
Those liver shots, like there's like a nerve cluster there that will cause your entire body to just shut off. Like it just goes. Right. Like there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. So Mickey comes back. All the announcers eat their words. He did the strategy Dickie told him to do. Everyone's happy.
Oh, and the announcers are going in on him too. It's like, this is the worst performance in the history of organized fighting.
They are dragging him. They're like, this is like, it's like people paid good money to see this. Like, how should be ashamed. Yeah. And then at the end, all of a sudden, he's a genius. So now, his history is written by the victors. So now it's time. They're like, listen, the guy shows up in his taxi cab, a la Crazy Taxi, slides in and goes, hey, that guy was supposed to fight the champ. So now you get to fight the champ in London, England. It's like,
is that by the law of transitive property. No.
First of all, number one contender, you're now the number one contender, even if you were like the 20th contender.
I don't believe so. Also,
what if he's the lineal champion?
This title, this like WBF or whatever, I forget what it's like a WBU? Bullshit. Like nobody cares. Yeah, it's the HBCU welterweight title being defended in England.
By two white men.
Well, I mean, you know,
Irish Mickey Ward and then real Irish, whatever his name was.
Yeah, it's like
Irish.
But this is like a nothing title. Like, it's not like it's the ring title or like it's a unified championship. It's one of like 58 welterweight belts at the time.
Handsome looking belt though. So anyway.
It's a Rocky belt.
So now they're getting ready to, they got to train for this fight. And then Dickie's movie got shown in prison, live from Crackville. And at first he's all proud of himself. And then he's sort of seeing his life for what it is. And like his son shows up on the screen and like the other inmates are laughing and joning on him. And I think that's the moment that puts him over the edge. He's like, I got to get my fucking shit together. So he starts cleaning up, he gets released. He comes to the gym. Harpy mom of his And they're like, hey, we're here to be the fighter. And they're like, you're not here no more because we didn't say you were allowed to do this.
We're here to be the fighter.
So.
Oh, yeah. Dickie convinces Mickey to spar, even though Mickey has no desire to do anything.
Yeah.
And Mickey just beats the piss out of him in a sparring match.
And his mom yells at him.
Yeah.
Like, why'd you do that to your brother?
What about me?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what. So here's where it comes up, right? So now Dickie shows up at the boxing gym with his mother, and then all the sisters show up with a cake, and then the fucking Constable Jones and Amy Adams are like, we don't want anything to be a part of this. Like, it's either them or us, and that's the, this is not
the
you.
The Constable's name is O'Keefe.
O'Keefe.
Of course
it is. And he's like, I'm Chief the one O'Keefe. Out there. Not you, not you, not you. And,
hey, I'm Gordon Bombay. Not you,
not you. Me, not you. So now O'Keefe dips. Fucking Amy Adams is like, marches her ass away. And then Dickie's like, ah, fuck him. We don't need him anyway. So he puts on, like they were saying, he puts on the shit, goes to spar with Mickey. Mickey dismantles him.
Yeah.
And just gives him what for. And then Dickie like leaves, like as Mickey's yelled at by the rest of his family, Dickie just fucking pieces out with the cake. And they're like, he's like, I gotta go do something. And everybody's like, oh, that means he's gonna smoke crack. So then he goes to his crack house friends and they're all excited to see him. They're like, hey, let's go smoke crack. He's like, he thinks about it for a second. He's like, wait a minute, I can't smoke crack anymore. Here's a cake. My brother's gonna be the fighter. And then he leaves. And goes to Amy Adams' house. He's like, listen here, you broad. I don't like you and you don't like me, but my brother likes you. What have you got to know me better?
Also, his main crack homie is named Boo Boo, by the way. Like, just so we're clear.
Also, his crack people, like, I know it's a movie, so they're not going to be, but they're pretty, like, honestly, like, if you looked at those guys, you're like, eh, crack's not that bad. Because, like, they're crackheads, but they don't really seem that bad.
His crack people look better than his sisters in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah.
Well, they're those, like, real working class lunch pail crackheads.
They work on the road crew.
I love this scene between Amy Adams and Bale. And I think, like, the scene is so well done, like, between the two of them. Like, they're two characters because they haven't really interacted much throughout this whole movie, and then they clash together. Like, I don't know. I just think the scene works really fucking well.
Right. So Amy Adams like, fuck it. All right, I'll come back for him. Fuck you. And he's like, same. And then Marky Mark rolls up, and he sees the two of them commiserating, and then he's like, all right, good. Now go get O'Keefe back. And then Dickie like jogs off into the sunset.
Yeah. Well, I think Sean said it earlier, but like Amy Adams is really the only one that calls him out on his bullshit. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think anyone up to this point in the movie has called him out on his shit. So it's kind of cool.
It kind of feels like because she got away from there for a little while, like, she's, like, immune. Like, she has, like, a buff to, like, all the lol bullshit. You know what I mean?
But even, I mean, I feel like you get that from right the jump, right? Like, when he first takes her to the house.
I mean, she's been away from lol. She went away to college, you know what I mean? Yeah. And saw other things and came back.
But, like, when they show the clips of the HBO thing, it's interesting because they show a differing opinion of like people that are like ashamed of Dickie as opposed to him being like held up on this pedestal. So there is some sentiment even within the town of like this fucker's an embarrassment. But anyway, she's just the first one to tell it to his face when he's like clear eyed enough to receive it.
I have a Massachusetts question for Alec, if you know, because the way Lowell is portrayed in this movie, it's a city that contains like one block. Like it is like, you know, 30 people live there. Can you guess like or know what the approximate size of this town is?
I mean, it's a decent sized town. Hang on, I'm looking it up on Wikipedia for
a Massapedia.
It's a population of 114,000 people.
Oh, okay. So it's a significantly sized town.
Yeah, it's not like a one stoplight town or anything. I don't know what would really compare to, I don't know, maybe like a Westminster in Maryland or something like that.
I was just curious. This seems very small towny.
Oh, so anywho,
wow.
Westminster's
only got 20,000 people, so never mind.
Oh, okay, so it's like five Westminster's.
Five Westminster's. Yeah. What? How big is? Never mind. We're not going to do this. I was now I want to look up the population of cities in Britain. But anyway, go ahead.
So now Dickie, everyone, all the powers of Lowell have combined behind Mickey Ward. Like, we're all one unified front. And so there's a lot of push-ups and sit-ups and jogging, and it's time to go to England and talk to this guy. And Mickey couldn't be nice. Like, I'm just happy to be here. Glad for the shot. And then the other guy's like, I'm going to move right through him. And then they're like, okay, that's cool.
I didn't know he fought groundskeeper Willie.
Shay Neary hears you. Shay doesn't care.
So, you used me, Mickey. You used me. Oh, so now, so Mickey Ward has this fight against Shay Neary for this, I guess, unimportant. I thought it was important, but Sean's saying it's a worthless belt. But it's a fun fight to watch. And it's sort of more like, it's a little more back and forthy than the last one. And you know, he's getting worked on quite a bit, but it's, you know, he ends up TKO an old boy in the eighth round, becomes the fighter. And that's the rest. He has a trip. He has a three piece with Arturo Gatti to cement himself in boxing history. And then you're in, then you get a little taste of real Mickey and Dickie hanging out in the bar in Lowell. And you're like, Jesus, what the hell?
Shay Neary, I think, fought like one or two more times after that fight and retired. His heart just wasn't in it. Interesting, maybe not. There's a couple Jim Lampley calls in here. One of them is like, imagine if you bought a ticket, and the other one's something like, and Ward nods as if, come on, let's fight. That audio is actually from the first Ward Gotti fight. It's not from that fight. Oh, like, wow. I was like, I know that audio, and I went back and watched like highlights of the Ward Gotti trilogy, and that's actually from those fights.
But yeah, that's the fighter. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Crispy Pops. Okay.
The cinematography is amazing.
Yeah, Alec, was your favorite part of the cinematography?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Damn, you beat me to it. You beat me to it. Good job.
Damn, that line, that just killed me.
It was the best part of the movie. It really was. It was so good.
Guy on the road crew recommended this.
Yeah. Ward was still working on that road crew while he was in between those Gotti fights, and supposedly he worked there for a little bit after he retired, like just for funzos.
It's probably a good way to keep in shape.
Yeah.
That's gotta be grueling work.
Oh yeah. Mickey Ward also has a hysterically high pitched voice in real life. Like, it's even more Boston-y, but it's like in a much higher register.
I know you sent that,
Legendary Knights.
Well, didn't you actually send the documentary too in the text?
A documentary of the Ward Gotti. I think it might just be the first fight. I watched it years ago. The HBO used to have a series called Legendary Knights. It'd be Legendary Knights, the tale of, you know, Hearns Hagler or whatever, or like Ollie Frazier, and they did Ward Gotti because, like, again. Ward Gotti is like a high water moment. You know, usually guys in that weight class are not like particularly hard hitting. They both were. Neither of those. If you tried to put the Ward Gotti fights in a movie, it would look fake. It would look like Rocky because they're not moving. They're not fucking defend. They are just unloading nonstop, and they never get tired, and they're just beating the fuck out of each other.
I'll have to watch it. I'll have to check it out. Is that? The HBO documentary, is that easy to find? That Hyatt Crack Street or whatever?
I think it's on Max.
Oh, it is?
It was a couple of years ago, yeah.
I'd like to watch that too. Anything else we want to talk about before we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles?
He still lives in Lowell, and he owns a boxing gym and a hockey rink.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's like an Irish king.
Still married to Charlene.
And for those of you that care at home, Lowell is actually bigger than Frederick, Maryland, which...
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like almost two Fredericks.
Yeah, it's pretty big. But
I don't know. I mean, I think we'll get into Five Knuckle Shuffles, but this movie is great.
It's weirdly hard to talk about
because there's not like, I don't know, there's nothing really wrong with it. It's also
a movie where the boxing is like almost incidental. Like, I don't care as much about the boxing, even though he's a real person and, you know, he was a very entertaining fighter. But like, for the story, like, you could remove the boxing and make the family business anything, and it still kind of works.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think, like, maybe I'm comparing it to, like Creed movies and Rocky, but, like, the boxing choreography is fine, but it's not, like, it's not memorable.
No, it's not, like, Creed level.
Yeah, it's not, like, and I mean, I know they're going for, like, a more realistic thing, but, like, I feel like there's more dramatic, like, boxing scenes in other movies. But anyway, let's get in Five Knuckle Shuckles. Five Knuckle Shuckles. Before we get into this, we're giving 100 Five Knuckle Shuffles to Golemite. It's the greatest thing we've ever come up with on the show.
Actually, better than Daredevil.
Yes, it's better than Daredevil. It's better than Robocop. I'm drawing a Golemite. I'm gonna put a Moho logo on it. It's the best thing we've ever movie podcast logo. Excuse me. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened on this show. It's better than lightning in a pan. It's gonna change our lives.
High praise.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's pretty great.
100 Five Knuckle Shuffles to that. It's revolutionary. Alec, the man of the hour.
I'm gonna give it a 9.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. It's a really good movie. It's not quite perfect. It's a little clunky in a few parts. Like a few of his like shot selections are really weird. Like when they, I forget if she's getting in the car or getting out of the car, but like the first date they go on, there's a shot where he just like keeps the camera on Amy Adams' legs for like 3 seconds while she's, I forget if she's getting in or out of the car. And I watched, I was like, what the fuck is that? Like,
you know what it is.
Yeah. It made no sense.
Yeah.
But overall,
I'm mad at it though.
Overall, it's this movie's a banger, and like Marky Mark's at his Marky Markiest, doing his Boston accent with his uncharacteristically high voice.
Yeah, he does go high. You're right about that. I'm glad somebody said that. He does go kind of high. It's weird.
If you listen to Ward's voice, you'll know why, because his voice is very high pitched.
Marky Mark's voice is always a little high. It's higher than what you would expect from a guy of his like beefiness.
Right.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect Marky Mark's voice to be so high.
It's like
my only wish was this movie had more Funky Bunch, but alas, we can't have everything we want.
It just stopped and did Good Vibrations in the middle of it.
Or it was like Good Vibrations was playing in the background and he's like, that's one funky bunch. And then he's like,
TJ, what's the Fred Durst, or not the Fred Durst movie, the one he directed with John Travolta where it's like, biscuit? What the fuck is that? The fan,
yeah. Oh my God. That part of the movie is amazing. He's like, you like Limp Bizkit? It's like, what the fuck? Why is this in the movie? God, that movie's so bad.
Yeah, I'll give it a 9.
I'm going to give this an 8. I really enjoy this movie a lot. It's one of those movies, I've probably said this before and it's still stupid, but it applies. It's more of a tech demo for acting than it is a movie. Because, like, the movie is what it is. Like, it's a biopic, and most biopics are not, like, super compelling. Like, there's a little bit of weirdness in it. Like, the shit with his daughter, it's like, again, you introduce that in movies where you need conflicts. It's like, oh, we need conflict for the main character. And somebody's like, well, we got all the boxing. You're like, oh, shit, that's right. That is a conflict. So we could probably get rid of
physical conflict.
Right. It's like literal conflict. So we could probably shit can the daughter. And like, I don't know. Like, again, it's not like an overly dramatic. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I can't put my finger on it. Like, but it's like a very, 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 very good movie, but it like misses out on being great. And I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. Maybe it's the lack of drama in the fights themselves, or I don't know. Cause it's not like a hard movie to watch. And like all the performances are fantastic. And like, I get everything about it. It's just like, maybe I've seen it too many times or something. And it's just kind of like, you know, like 8's respectable. Oh, I think.
But yeah, I mean, I prefer Three Kings, but that's a much weirder movie as far as movies go. But Gox.
I'm gonna give it a 9. I think I've probably seen this movie 3 or 4 times now. I've always enjoyed it, and it's one of those, like, you know, movies where you know the ending and you still get kind of hyped about it. Like at the last fight, oh, yeah. Like I know he's gonna win, but like when he wins, I'm still like, hell yeah! Like it's like, all right, you got me. Like I'm here for this. Marky Mark's great in it. Fucking Batman, whose name escapes me,
Christian Bale
is he's like tremendous. The mom is
sports bangers.
Is like the mom's so repugnant, but she's doing a great job. Amy Adams has never been hotter. Like it's an eminently watchable. And as far as biopics go, it's probably one of the better biopics. Like,
yeah,
I agree with that. So you know, it's a 9. I like it, and the soundtrack slaps, TJ.
It feels like fucking why can't I think of her name? Melissa Leo is like playing Edie Falco playing this, you know what I mean? She's got that like that early to mid 2000s everybody hates women and they're awful kind of vibe, you know what I'm saying? I mean, she was awful in real life, but it's that character.
Is the real mother shown in any of those documentaries? Like is there footage of her like IRL?
I don't know, in Legendary Nights, probably in High on Crack Street, but I saw one at like 9.
And you don't have perfect recall. Interesting.
No.
What else happened to you at 9, Sean? Why don't you tell us?
Well, I was Catholic, so.
Oh, oh. Shit. Who'd you pass it to?
You.
You're the only one left, dipshit.
Oh, shit.
No, you're not. Oh, you are the only one? You might be. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's 9 for me, dog. I really like this movie. But it's a few clicks away from being perfect. I agree with Sean. There's something lacking in it, but for me personally, I just don't, like I said before, my only complaint about the movie is I don't think the boxing is very interesting. Like I love the drama around it. Like you could almost like, I'm just aping what Sean said, but he's right. You could almost kind of skip the boxing. Like every boxing scene you could just cut out. Cause like it's more the characters are more interesting than anything.
Oh, like just like Oppenheimer it, like the one thing you know is gonna happen and don't worry about it.
Like I'm just that. Saying, like, I don't know, maybe just David O. Russell's not the best at like action or whatever, or maybe this is intentionally what he did. Cause again, like the look is great. Like it looks, they do a good job to kind of replicate what like HBO boxing looked like back in those days. But I just feel like, excuse me, the like fight choreography is just not very interesting to me. And there's not like, and again, it's probably unfair because I'm comparing it to like Rocky movies. But like in a Rocky movie, like it sounds like ridiculous when they're getting punched, but like you feel it, there's like an impact. And I feel like as much as Mickey Ward is getting fucking beat to shit, like I don't really feel it. I don't think there's a lot of weight to the fights.
Which but again, is bonkers, because if you listen to the audio from the Ward Gotti fights, it sounds like a truck hitting a building over and over again. They're just beating the fuck out of each other.
But I mean, that's the only thing that I have to complain about, because every performance in this is great. Like, every performance is wonderful. It's wonderfully written. The only negative I could even say is that David O. Russell in real life is like a huge piece of shit. And I have a hard time supporting him, but like he made a great movie. So what can you do? But no, it's wonderful. And like Marky Mark, you know, you give him good material and he's pretty solid. Like he's good in this movie. If anything, he reminds me a lot. Like for me, it always goes back to him in Boogie Nights. Like when he is not the fucking like token badass, like I know he's like a tough guy in this, but he's still a very vulnerable tough guy in this movie. Whether it's like the vulnerability of the ring, like when he gets his ass kicked, or the vulnerability of the fact that he's like torn between his family and like his future and his well-being, like that is interesting, and you can chew on that. And I think he's really good at that. I just can't buy Marky Mark when he's like the fucking American Sniper or whatever other horse shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like it just doesn't work. And like, he's really good in this movie. I mean, I don't think we've talked enough about fucking Christian Bale in this movie, but it's only because he's always amazing in everything. Like,
like it's redundant, I guess, to say that he totally transforms in this movie. Like watch fucking Batman Begins and watch this. It's like, how is that the same fucking actor? Like he feels like he takes on a role like so hard. Like, or like we watched on the show, fucking Ford versus Ferrari. Like he feels like a completely different person every time you watch him in a movie. Like I think I texted, I don't know if I texted the group, but I definitely texted, maybe I did text the group, but I mean, I don't think it's an understatement to say like, he's like probably the greatest actor of this generation. Like the guy is amazing.
Yeah.
Like I just blown away by how good he is.
Like, and the fucking yelling at the fucking sound guy is still like all time.
Good for you. He did that on Terminator. What was that? Salvation?
He's defending the integrity of McGee and Terminator Salvation.
Doesn't he name McGee and he's like, McGee, what are you doing?
Do I come walking through when you set your lights up? No, I don't.
Be a fucking professional. Also,
I like you, man, but we're done professionally. I gotta use that at some point.
His fucking real voice is so funny because he never talks in it. Like when he's mad, is fucking like, "Oh, mate," it's very funny.
I don't know if he even has his own real voice anymore. It's just this mishmash of 200 different accents he's done.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a great movie. It really is. It's a wonderful film. So yeah, it's a 9 for me, dog. Sean has a suggestion for next week, since we have an open week, and I was down for it. So I think
it's a movie everybody will like.
A movie for some reason I thought we already did, but we must have just talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Sean.
It is an animated Christmas adjacent Japanese movie called Tokyo Godfathers, made by Satoshi Kon, the guy that made Paprika. It's not as weird as Paprika, just throwing it out there.
It's not really weird at all. Like
it's sweet.
Actually, it's super wholesome, if anything. But you know, we got a free week, and it'll be after Christmas when we post it, but stay in the holiday spirit. I'm for it. What do you guys think? Tokyo Godfathers next week?
There's a decent chance I'll miss next week, but I'll try to watch it in case I can do it.
Alec, of all people, you should.
I think you will like it the most.
I'm
like desperately trying to pick a movie that you will like.
Alec loves Christmas movies, and this is a very unusual but very sweet Christmas movie. So even if you don't get a chance to get on the show, please watch the movie. I think you'll like it. I'm pretty sure they have a dubbed version. I'll try to find that and put that on the Plex. Pretty sure there's a dubbed version.
Yeah, I think I've only seen it dubbed.
I'll see what I can find. But anyway, that's the show. Next week, Tokyo Godfathers. Everybody have a Merry Christmas, even though this is going to be posted the day after Christmas. But
yeah,
maybe I'll
follow. Hope you had a Merry Christmas.
Maybe I'll get crazy.
It's appropriate because it'll be posted on Boxing Day.
That's there right. Yeah, that's right.
And don't say Happy Christmas like you're British, because that shit sucks and I don't care for it.
Oh, did I say
no. Happy? No, you didn't say it. I mean, just in general.
Start saying Merry Fishmas.
Also, like, not for nothing, there's this guy at my work who just started there, and he's like he did the thing that like literally nobody does, but he said Merry Christmas, and everybody's like, yeah, thanks. And then he's like, oh, I mean Happy Holidays. I wouldn't want to offend anybody. It's like, bro,
nobody cares.
Like, did you see anybody that was fucking offended? Like, no, shut the fuck up.
No one has ever cared.
No one gives a fuck at all. No. Except for Gogs. He's like, stop taking my Christmas.
Putting the Christ back in Christmas. I'm blowing up Starbucks.
I hate the fucking war on Christmas, let me tell you.
if there was a war on Christmas, Christmas would be winning the war by quite a bit.
Yeah.
I just tell people, police Navi Gogs, and they're just walking away.
Police Navi Gogs! Oh, that's
good. We're fucking rolling today.
Damn, we got a lot of good ones today. Police Navi Gogs. Oh, that's awesome.
All right, boys.
All right, everybody. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Later, gang.